A reading from the book of Revelation. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth, to devour her child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert, where she had a place prepared by God. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his anointed one." Verbum Domini.
Daughters of kings are those whom you favor. On your right stands the queen in gold of Ophir.
The queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold.
Listen, O daughter. Pay heed and give ear. Forget your own people and your father's house.
The queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold.
So will the king desire your beauty. Is your Lord, pay homage to him.
Our queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold.
They are escorted amid gladness and joy. They pass within the palace of the king.
The queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in
gold. Reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he subjected everything under his feet. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Verbum Domini.
The words of the gospel may ascend to the light.
Today we celebrate the great solemnity of the Assumption of our Blessed Mother into heaven. And we speak of this doctrine of the Assumption as the fourth of the Marian doctrines. First, that she's proclaimed the Mother of God, 431. We proclaim her ever virgin before, during, and after her birth. She had a virginal conception, a virgin birth. We also speak of her Immaculate Conception, defined in 1854, and today the Assumption proclaimed in 1950 by Pius XII. And this doctrine of the Assumption is part of our tradition. Some of the Church Fathers spoke of it in the second and third century, and we had the reading from Revelation 12, the woman clothed with the sun as a scripture text referring to her assumption into heaven. So the papal bull, this ex cathedra statement, a doctrine that we have to believe as Catholics, stated that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed, body and soul, into heavenly glory. And that her body suffered no corruption. She was assumed. Christ ascends into heaven by his being the Word raised by the Father. He is the source of grace. He ascends. Mary is assumed. Mary is taken up into heaven. She's a recipient of this grace. She's a recipient of the Holy Spirit, the Immaculate Conception, all these great prerogatives that she has. It's the work of Christ in her. And there's a fittingness to this because we see in the beginning in Genesis, there's Adam and Eve. They are the head of the human race, the beginning of the human race. And now at the beginning of a regeneration of man, a transformation, a new creation, we have the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary, that they work together. Jesus is the source, but Mary cooperates in bringing about a new humanity transformed by grace, that we are adopted children of God. What a work that God is doing. What a work God has done in Mary. And we speak of the Assumption as being a natural consequence of her Immaculate Conception. Remember in Genesis 3:15, you know, after the fall, we're told that God will put enmity between the woman and the serpent, between her seed and his, that her seed will crush the head of the serpent. We see that on Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull, where he crushes the head of the serpent. But the woman is mentioned there, her seed. Unusual to speak of the seed coming from a woman, and it some see in that a reference to her virginal conception. That Jesus has no biological human father. His fathers are heavenly father. But Mary, the new Eve, participates in this crushing of the head of the serpent. That she's in heaven interceding for us now. Pope Benedict would speak beautifully about that through her assumption she is inserted into the life of God, the life of the Trinity, so she can be present to all of us, present to all of us as a mother in the order of grace, to help us to bring forth these gifts of divine life, won for us by Christ on the cross, that she can help bring those to us, open our hearts to receive them as a mother, that she's nurtures us. Spiritual Mother in the Order of Grace, she nurtures this life within us. So in her Immaculate Conception, she was uniquely preserved from original sin. And because she's received this grace to be, it flowers, this seed of grace flowers in glory, that she is to be free of corruption of the grave. That grace is the seed of glory. So Mary, our mother, close to us, still a member of the church. She's a human creature, but yet she is preeminent and a singular member of the church. We speak of her as a type of the church, a prefigurement, a model, but also she is a fulfillment. She's a spiritual fullness of the church we see in her. She has a unique role, unique gifts. And still today, she has received everything from Christ. Her mediation rests completely on His, and it's a maternal mediation. I think that's the really good news. Mothers have this love for us that is unshakable. They're focused. You know, women have this gift of just being focused on the human person in a special way. They're relational. So Mary sees all our needs, like at the wedding feast of Cana. She saw that they were running out of wine. She sees where we lack. She sees our poverties, our needs, and intercedes for us. Yes, on Calvary, Christ won the victory for us. He obtained the grace we need for salvation. And yet, there is something that needs to be extended throughout the mystical body, extended throughout all that we share in that paschal mystery. And as she stood at the foot of the cross, she is there at the foot of our cross, helping us to be faithful to Him, to share in that paschal mystery, that suffering, death, and resurrection. That this event on Calvary and His resurrection is played out in time. It's extended in time, that we share in it. We look forward to the final transformation of heaven and earth. We see Revelation speak of a new heavens and a new earth. And Mary shares in that victory now. Some way we could say it's Jesus obedient to the fourth commandment, to honor your father and mother, that she's not going to suffer corruption, that she shares fully. And that victory now, that completed work of redemption, is seen in Jesus and Mary. So as I mentioned, we had Adam and Eve at the beginning, the natural origin of humanity. You know, that beginning of humanity is revealed as a couple. And now, as original sin sadly was transmitted through our parents there, now in Jesus and Mary, we have the origin of a regeneration. This gives us hope, because it's not up to us fully, right? We have to cooperate, but this is a gift and a work that we see completed in Mary, that God's plan is now realized not only in Christ, the bridegroom, but also in the bride, signified in the church, recapitulated in Mary. That she receives the first fruits of the resurrection for all humanity. It's fully completed. And we receive this grace. Some writers speak of that Jesus couldn't wait to fully redeem her. He couldn't let her see corruption. It's a natural consequence, we could say, of the Immaculate Conception, of that enmity that she has with Satan, that she would not suffer that corruption, that punishment due to sin. But her glorification is a model for ours. It's a sign of glory that awaits Christians. It's a sign of glory that awaits Christians, that our home is in heaven, that this world is passing, that we want to be detached from the things of this world and look forward to that heavenly homeland. And if we have faith and the humility to receive this, to keep focused on the Lord, God gives us hope in what he has done in Mary to see where we are headed. So we speak of her as the model and pattern of holiness, a sign of hope. Because we know in our own personal struggles with sin, we know in the sins that we see in others and failures, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to think that this transformation is not possible. But we have Mary there as a great sign of hope for us. Today, we also celebrate the 44th anniversary of the launch of EWTN. God willing, he is using this network to help others come to faith, to come to belief in Christ, to receive that hope. That hopefully this network and all of us working here can foster that in others. And I see it all the time. I was just at the shrine yesterday and just met a few people that just came up to me and were so grateful for the network. They had come to the shrine to pray at Mother's tomb there. We see a concrete realization, I do all the time, of what God is doing through this network. Mother Angelica entered religious life on this day of the Assumption, and she witnessed in such a powerful way to faith, willing to do the ridiculous in order to accomplish the miraculous. That's faith, that's trust. We have to do that in our lives too. We have problems and situations that we face, and we need to turn them over to the Lord. And I find oftentimes it's not the only part of the equation. I can say the prayer, I turn this over to you, and I'm still worried. But when I take the next step, in imitation of Mary, where she gives her fiat, where Mother Angelica gave her yes, is to seek God's will. So turn it over. And sometimes we really just seemingly can't turn it over. But to say, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And focus on his will, then I can have some peace. I can grow in my trust in the Lord. I can walk forward. I don't know how this is going to go, where this is going to wind up. But Lord, show me your will. And how many times did we hear Mother say that on the network, speaking about God's will, staying in the present moment where we find his will, and we trust in that. He shows up. We experience his providence in that present moment. And we don't know how it's going to go sometimes. And sometimes God just shows up in a beautiful way, and we walk away and say, why was I so worried? And other times it is a struggle, but we keep walking forward. So I think of all the programming that Mother did, and some of these themes of faith, of trust, of hope, of joy. I remember one time, this is in the late 90s, my grandmother had a medical crisis, and we thought this was it, right? And we go down to New Orleans and visit her, and it was kind of a dark time. I remember my grandmother was resting in the hospital, and we turned out the lights, just had that light over her head, and it cast this shadow that looks like a death mask, you know? We're staring at Grandma and thinking, oh my gosh, it was just an image. And the room got very solemn. And we said, enough of this. We turned on the lights, turned on the television, and there was Mother Angelica on her show. And she was just saying some funny personal story. And I just lifted up the whole room, you know. She did that in such a beautiful way. She had this communion with our Lord. She had the Holy Spirit working in her and had the fruit of joy. And I think her most powerful witness for me is her personal love of Jesus, that she, as a consecrated religious, is an image of the church as bride. The church is called bride because she is joined to Christ. Spousal language speaks of union. And that was her goal, that was her motivation, that she was doing this for Jesus. And that she operated in and out of this union with Christ. And it was a joyful union. That yes, much suffering, and the whole time there was suffering. Great evangelizer, and oh yeah, she is suffering the whole time. There's difficulties. But she had this joy that gave us hope. It gave us hope. So I think it's so fitting that the network celebrates this anniversary of her launch on the Feast of the Assumption, because this is a feast of hope. We keep our eyes on the Lord. We're following him. We have his mother to intercede for us and to witness to us the great work of God's grace in our life.